So this morning, my message is taken from Acts chapter 16, and I pray that God will encourage your hearts and my heart through His holy words this morning. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You for Your words. We thank You there are many countries around the world. People cannot meet in this way and worship and thank God. But we thank Thee for the good opportunity, the blessings that we have in this country. And God, I pray this morning You will encourage my heart, encourage all our hearts through Your holy words. Please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Acts chapter 16, verse 9 says, "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Now, the Old Testament and the New Testament talks about dreams and visions. In the Old Testament, we find Joseph had dreams. We find King Solomon had dreams. And we find Daniel had dreams. When we come to the New Testament, we find dreams and visions and trance. Paul talks about, Peter talks about. When we come to Acts chapter 10, there was a man called Cornelius. In my language, Cornelius. So he is Cornelius. This man says, this is what he says, Acts chapter 10, verse 3. "One day, at about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, he had a vision." Verse 4 says, "He clearly saw an angel of God who came to him and said..." Now here what we find is, this man was able to say, what time God gave him the vision. He says, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now what did he see in the vision? He says, "An angel of God was talking to him. Now I was going through a small Bible dictionary to find out more about dreams and vision. Now this is what I found in the Bible dictionary. In scripture, there is a sense of something more than a heavy supper causing dreams. In scripture, there is a sense of something more than a heavy supper causing dreams. And the next line says, "And since God is the prime cause of everything, dreams must be a form of communication between God and man." So it is very clear, dreams, visions, trance, all these are forms of communication between God and man. I strongly believe God spoke to the people in the Old Testament times through dreams and visions. God spoke to the people in the New Testament times through dreams and visions. And God will continue to talk to the people through dreams and visions in the coming days. Some of the Muslim countries, Islam countries, I think God is revealing Himself, and we read in magazines the true stories. Now, let us see this verse. "During the night, Paul had a vision." This is Acts chapter 16, verse 9. "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Now, what kind of help this man was asking for? "Paul, it is winter time. You come and give us some warm clothes. Paul, we need some food parcels. Come and give us some food parcels. Paul, we need some financial help. You come and give us some financial help." No, they were not asking for financial help. They were not asking for food parcels. They were not asking for warm clothes. Verse 10 says what they were asking for. Acts chapter 6, verse 16, verse 10. "After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia." Now please note the next line. "To leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So it is very clear they were asking for the word of God. Paul, there's a spiritual need. Paul, you please come. I'm not asking, I am begging you. I am begging you, you come to Macedonia and share the word of God. You preach the word of God. There is a big spiritual need in our place. My dear friends, what is the greatest need in this country today? What is the greatest need in India today? The greatest need in England, in America, in Africa? I would say the greatest need around the world is for people to hear the word of God, for people to receive Christ in their lives. That's the way I understand. First, for them to hear the word of God. In book of Romans, I think, that's the verse. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they hear? Here it says, for the people to hear the word of God, you come and share the word of God. What I believe is, Satan is showing the people, God is not important. But world and the worldly things are very important. We make shopping list. Likewise, I think Satan also has a list. In his list, all the godly things, all the godly matters are last. And in his list, all the worldly things are first in the list. Very sadly, some Christian families also fallen into his trap. And this is the reason nowadays, most of the Christian families, they do not go to church. They do not have Bible studies. They do not have family prayer. It is very sad. Do not want to involve in church activities. Today many do not read Bible. Christian families. I have an interesting story to tell. I might have told this story some time ago. I know we have some African brothers and sisters. I pray that they will be encouraged to listen to this story. The story goes like this. An American man, young fellow, he went to Africa, one part of Africa. He was walking on the, a countryside. He saw an African man sat down and reading Bible. So this American man asked, "Friend, what are you reading?" And he said, "I am reading Bible." After some time, this African man asked the American man, "Sir, do you read Bible?" The American man told, no, I don't read Bible. I got three good reasons. That's why I don't read Bible," he said. "Bible is very old. Bible is outdated. Bible is not relevant today." The African man nodded his head. Okay. Then this is what he said. "Sir, Bible is not old. Bible is not outdated. It is very relevant today. If it is not relevant, you will be not walking on this road, you will be in my stomach." Yes. This holy book changed the life of the people. Cannibals became God-fearing men. We have headhunters in Northeast India, Nagaland, Manipur, Mizoram. Those people are known as headhunters. When you enter their homes before the missionaries went, there will be 10 skulls, 15 skulls, 20 skulls. They were known as headhunters. But missionaries went, and this book changed their lives. Praise God. So my prayer is that, friends, please remember to read Bible, to teach the word of God, the Bible to your children, grandchildren, because it is not outdated. It is very relevant today. You know, in the world there are 52 countries people cannot legally have Bibles. You can check this in your internet. 52 countries, they cannot have Bibles. Australia is not a lucky country. Australia is a blessed country. You have Bibles with different versions, different translations. I heard somewhere two communist countries, one country, the pastor did not have a Bible. So one of the ladies said, this pastor will go to service a little bit early, ask that lady, please give me your Bible, take some notes and he will preach. In another story I was reading, another communist country, one family, they had only one Bible, the whole church. So they, you know, the school notebooks, they bought the school notebooks, they started to write from the book of Genesis to Revelation. I think if my memory is correct, it took 30 to 40 notebooks. These are true stories. You can get it from Bible Society. And I pray that I'm going to read some Bible verses. And I pray God will put in my heart, God will put in your heart, hunger and thirsty to read Bible and to teach the Bible, the Word of God, to our family and our little ones in the family. Psalm 42 verse 1, as the deer pants for the water, so my heart pants for you, O God. Isaiah 55 verse 1, come all you who are thirsty, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. That's what it says. Psalm 63 1, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. Jesus said, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Please look at that verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I was reading in an American magazine, it said, an American judge said, train a child when he is on the high chair. Train a child when he is on the high chair. It will be too late. It will be too late for you to train him when he is on the electric chair. I think there's a big difference between the high chair and the electric chair. Now this morning, very quickly, I'm going to share seven things for spiritual maturity. We must mature in our Christian life. Whatever the denomination may be Methodist Church, Baptist Church, Anglican Church, Churches of Christ, Pentecostal Church, whatever the denomination may be, day by day, we must, all the believers, the families, the individuals, there should be spiritual maturity, spiritual growth in our lives. So very quickly I'm going to tell you seven things. Number one, read Bible, God's words earnestly, and also read spiritual and afflicting books. That's a very, very important thing. Read God's words earnestly. You know Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah says, when your words came to me, I ate them. I always like that verse. God, when your words came to me, I ate them. Like eating chocolates. I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. And I pray with a loving heart, earnest spirit, we will read God's words. Isaiah says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. So please read the word of God every day. Get the strength, get the wisdom, get the guidance from the word of God. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, he said, read many good books, but live in the Bible. Read many good books, but live in the Bible. And I pray that God will give us a heart to read. Now the second one is meditation. Meditating on God's word. I come from a Buddhist country in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka Buddhists spend lots of time in meditation. Then I have a ministry in India. Hindus spend a lot of time in meditation. Very sadly, we Christians, we have forgotten that word. It's very sad. Meditation is very, very, very important. Psalm 114, verse 5. I meditate, this is King David says, I meditate on all your works. Psalm 119:97, how I love your words. The next line he says, I meditate on it all day long. Most of the pastors, preachers, we encourage the believers at least to spend 15 minutes in meditation. Indian people will always say, oh, I'm busy, no time. So recently I started a program, 5 minutes with God, and please pray that one. That tiny message is going to about 13 countries. People are listening, and please pray that God will bless us people here, listen to the word of God. You know, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, he spent 2 hours every day. I'll read that. John Wesley prayed 2 hours every day, and also he did fasting and prayer. And John Wesley practiced weekly fasting from Thursday evening to Friday evening, all the 24 hours. Then it says he refrained. He stopped drinking or eating food while taking water and tea during the day. What was the result when John Wesley did this one? Methodist churches started to come in England and around the world. Now the third one for spiritual maturity is we must search our hearts. Look within you. Look within me. The good example is Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah realized his own life, this is what he says. Woe to me! I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. But there's a good news. When Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, God did not say, Isaiah, you are a very sinful man. God did not say, Isaiah, you are a sinful man, you are a useless man. But God touched him and healed him and made him one of the best prophets in that time. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 7 says, God touched his mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. I pray that God will touch my heart, touch all our hearts, not just on Sundays, but every day. We need God's touch every second, every minute. That's the way I will put it. Because there are temptations everywhere. There are difficulties everywhere. There is discouragement everywhere. In such a world we are living in, we need God's touch every second. Now the next one is to walk to spiritual maturity, walk with God. Walk with God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. When so many ungodly things were happening around him, Bible says, this man walked with God. I really like that verse. Let us walk with God, whatever happens. COVID-19 comes or COVID-23 comes. Something I heard this morning, something new one is coming. Whatever comes, let us walk with God. I read few lines recently. Smart men walked on the moon. Daring men walked on the ocean floor. Wise men walked with God. I'll read that again, because I like it. Smart men walked on the moon. Daring men walked on the ocean floor. Wise men walked with God. Now the fifth one for spiritual growth is live by the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. We all know by heart, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We all know this. But the question is this, can others see the fruits of the Spirit in my life? Can others see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, in all our lives? Once God taught me a good lesson when I was in India. I was morning about 6 o'clock, I was standing at the bus stand waiting for a pastor. I was wearing a, you know, sarong, lungi. I was wearing a lungi and no slippers. I was just waiting. Next to me, a man was waiting with baskets full of vegetables to take to the market. So when the bus came, I helped that man, lifted and put all the vegetables. That man thought that I was a coolie. You know what is coolie? Laborer. So he gave me 50 cents. 50 cents dose is enough to have a cup of tea. I said no. So he thought, I'm expecting more. So he gave me another 50 cents. I said no. Then he asked me a question. I will never ever forget that one. He did not ask me, are you a Buddhist? He did not ask me, are you a Hindu? He did not ask me, are you a Muslim? But he asked me, are you a Christian? I said, yes. Then I asked him, how did you know that I am a Christian? He said, sir, only Christians will help like this. Christians came from all over the world, started the hospitals, started the schools. Only Christian people do all this kind of good work. I praise God for that incident. Jesus said, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let us live by the Spirit, by the fruits of the Spirit. Now the sixth one, how to grow spiritually. Walk not after the ways of the world. It is easy for us to fall into the worldly things. In the New Testament, the believers were caught into the worldly type of living. So Peter gave them a warning. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 10. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires. Those days I used to go to immigration department for my visa extension. The very first thing they ask is, are you a PR or TR? PR means permanent residence, TR means temporary residence. That time I was PR, but I told that lady, I'm a TR, temporary resident. She, no, you are a permanent resident. I told her, no, in the Bible I'm always TR. Yes, temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires. Then John, another disciple, he said, don't love this world or the things in it. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Set your minds on things above. Set your minds on things, heavenly things, not on earthly things. We are called to be world changers, but not world chasers. We are called to be world changers by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus, He just changed the world. But we are not world chasers. The last and the best thing is put on the full armor of God. I think no need to explain this one. Let us put on the full armor of God all the time. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. The next line says, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, devil has so many cunning schemes with Christians, Christian leaders and the pastors. But remember, God has good, well ordained plan for us. Praise the Lord for us. That is the difference. This devil, he has the schemes. God has the good ordained plan for us. And I pray that we will remember this verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. This morning you might have come to this service tired, discouraged, disappointed. So many things are going on, not good. But please remember this verse. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. In closing, the opposite word for spiritual growth will be, I think, backsliding. Believers can grow spiritually in three ways. They can grow day by day, or they can backslide, or they can live in between. There was a church in the book of Revelation. I think the name is little difficult for me to say, Laodicea. This church, they were not growing spiritually. They were not backsliding, but they were living in between. Then the Holy Spirit gave a warning to this church. Revelation 3:15. I know your work, that you are neither cold nor hot, because you are lukewarm. Neither cold or not. I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is the warning to the church. This was a very rich church actually. New Testament theologians say it was a new church. Rich church. It was in a business center. Comfortable life. But in their spiritual life, they were lukewarm. And I pray that we will not live in that way. We will be a church with full of life. We will know Christ in a very personal way. And that God will continue to love us. We will continue to love us. Backsliding does not happen gradually. It happens not overnight. It's slowly what happens. Slowly you decide not to go to church. Stop reading Bible, stop going to Bible studies, stop involving with church group, church activities. Then what happened? You compromise with the world. That's what it happens. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are so many things are happening around the world. I pray that you will send your little one to school. Please pray and send. That is the only thing to do. Because in the schools, God's words are not being taught. In closing, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. A senior pastor retired from his ministry. He gave the responsibility to his son. One day the son found it's very difficult, some difficulties in the ministry. So he went to his senior pastor, that was his dad. Dad, please give me some advice. I have some difficulties in the ministry. This is what the old minister said. My dear son, first, you come closer to God. My dear son, second thing, you please come closer to man. The third thing, my dear son, you bring God and man together. Let us come closer to God. Let us come closer to man. Let us bring God and man together. To do that, this Christmas season is a good time. Am I correct? Yes. Christmas time is a good time. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I pray that you will help me to help all of us to come closer to God, to come closer to man, and to bring God and man together. God, we thank thee for this Christmas season. Help me, help all of us to share the good news. Christ has come. Oh God, bless the pastor, the leaders, elders of the church. Keep us humble and help us to do God's ministry with joyful heart. Please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you and God bless you all.